There are shows in this world that we will never fully understand, except Ghost Adventures. We have watched every episode to build our obsession, our fandom.
Watching alongside each other because no one we know really gives a damn. Watching Zach and crew catch groundbreaking proof of the paranormal, inspiring us to explore our own interest in otherworldly phenomena. This is our podcast. We are Paranormal Cuentas.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Leah.
And it's me, Bethany.
And we are back with an exciting new Personal Tales episode. It's going to be a juicy one. We have a couple crew members from the Midnight Paranormal Society on this week's episode.
Yeah, Midnight Paranormal Society is based out in San Antonio. And I think it was Mike, right, who reached out to us over Facebook once we launched our Facebook?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what happened. So word travels fast in the paranormal network here.
Flast. Like a flash and so fast. It's so flast.
I'm just rocking and rolling. But it worked out. They invited us to be on our first Facebook Live, and we got to hang out with Maddie, Elena, and Deb on Tales from the Mystic Sideshow. So that was a really cool experience. So these guys are awesome in our book.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun because it was highlighting women in the paranormal, which is super cool and needs to happen a lot more, especially women of color.
Oh, yeah. So it was really cool to be in that environment and have that opportunity to work with them. So we're really glad to have them back or really have them here with us.
Yeah, I'm excited to actually talk to Mike and a couple of the other crew members because we didn't talk to any of the dudes that time. So it's dude time. It's bro time. We're going bro out with Midnight Paranormal Society, also known as MPS.
Oh, yeah. On the line, Mike, Robert, and Deb from the crew. And we're really excited to have y'all. Hey, guys.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're
amazing,
doing great.
Amazing. Hey. So we're super excited to have y'all. You guys gave us our first Facebook Live opportunity, so we're thankful for that, and it's really great to have y'all now come on the show and tell us a little bit about yourselves and kind of what got you into the paranormal.
Yeah, we're curious on how your journey started.
Oh, yeah. That's something we love talking about. And then also just to kind of add to what you said, it was definitely a pleasure having you guys on the show. You know, we're all about providing a platform, a place for people to, you know, just speak up and share their experiences and let people know, like you said, the journey where it all started. So, yeah, it was definitely a pleasure and an honor to have you guys on.
Thank you.
Yeah, the feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
Cool. So do one of you want to start us off and letting us know one of your earliest paranormal experiences or like the one that really kind of kicked this off for you?
Sure. I'll go first if that's okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Mine started when I was about 13. I was about 12 or 13. And the funny thing is, though, is that my grandmother always had these gifts, these senses, but she never talked about it. Well, when I was 12 or 13, I was living with her at that time, and all of a sudden I had a paranormal experience. Like, this man just came up to me in my bed. It was at night, and he was all in white, and he tried to talk to me, but I think I was so scared that I wasn't paying attention, and I was just so frightened because I didn't know what was going on. Well, it lasted for a while, right? And like, he was trying to tell me something, but I was just so frightened. This is like the only time that I was really scared, and I just couldn't understand what he was trying to tell me. So anyway, when I woke up the next morning, of course, I wanted to tell somebody about what I saw and what I was feeling. And I told my grandfather, and he just kind of laughed it off. He's like, "You were dreaming, whatever." I told my parents, and my parents are, you know, typical parents are like, "Oh, you're crazy. You were just dreaming." Well, when I told my grandmother, she really took interest into what I was saying. And so it's funny because when I had my first paranormal experience, that's what created our special bond. And I didn't know this at that time, but she's the only one that believed me. Come to find out that that's when I found out that she had all these gifts, and she could never talk about it because back then you were considered crazy or a witch, or, you know, you were just looked down upon. And so that's actually when our bond started. And so after that, I had many other experiences. I've always had experiences, even up to this day. It's never stopped. Again, she's like the only one that had believed me. And so I have learned so much. Unfortunately, she's passed. It's been about 15 years when she passed. But I have learned so many things from her after we created that bond and after she could finally speak to somebody that understood what she was going through as well. So I learned so much from her, and I learned how to cleanse, and I learned how to work with gemstones, and I learned like so many other things from her, how to work with saints and candles. And, you know, so kind of kept it quiet as I was growing up because people would look at you weird, right? They're like, oh my God, she's psycho. But I kind of shut that off for a while, and then I just started to get back into it. And I started, you know, doing the tarot cards. I started working more with my gemstones. It's like, this was when I went after high school. I think during high school, I kind of cut it off. And so I started doing my own thing. Well, I come to find out that on my grandmother's side, a lot of my cousins have these senses as well and these gifts. But we've all kept it quiet. Well, just recently, within the past couple of years, you know, we all started talking, and now we're all excited because it's like we all have these gifts, these senses. And when I met MPS, when I met Mike, I was so excited because it's like they were on my level. They knew exactly what I was going through, what I was talking about. And so now I'm just like all for it. I'm totally into the paranormal. I'm totally into helping people. I'm totally into cleansing. And, you know, it's just been a great thing. And I'm glad so many more people are now more open-minded and are coming forward. And I think, you know, with the work that MPS and what we're putting out there, people are more comfortable coming forward. And I think with a lot of these shows that we have also, people are now starting to find out and listen, and other people are like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. So I appreciate like all these shows and everybody else, all the Parunity and everything that's going on. And that's my story.
That's really great. I really love that, how it kind of it's evolved throughout your life, your fascination and your belief and really your overall appreciation, like, and it helped create that bond with your grandmother. That's really cool. A beautiful story, right? I think it's really cool when you can incorporate family and family is a part of it. So I really like that. That's neat.
Thank you.
Did your family come around to you having these gifts?
Yes. Most of them did, because like I said, after we started talking and we found out that more of my cousins, you know, we're like, oh my God, this happened to me. And we're like, you know, we started to discuss it, and we found out that it is coming from my grandmother's side. Right. And there's only maybe out of my whole family, there's only two people that, you know, in their mind, it's like, we're worshiping the devil. And I'm like, no, that's totally opposite. This is not what we're doing. But other than that, you know, the majority of the family, yes, now they've come forward. They think it's really cool. It's something that we can talk about, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it has evolved. So, yeah, it's, you know, people are talking about it more. And my family is totally fine. They know what I do, so.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome. I think that's kind of where we're getting more. Now it's people are bringing it to our attention, right? Like things that they would have never said to us before or told us about. They're like, oh, hey, by the way, check this out or listen to this. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, so it's really cool to you know, be open to that, because you learn and meet a lot of really cool people. So that's awesome.
And I just have to say one more thing. My husband is totally a scaredy cat, right? But it's so funny because he supports me 100%. And even though he's scared and he's like, you know, just do what you need to do and make sure you cleanse yourself, you know, and I'm like, calm down. But, and I think I told y'all when he started going to the fairs and the festivals with me, y'all were one of the first ones that he met. And I think I sent you a picture.
Yeah, because yeah.
So like, oh my God, these girls are so great. Well, he bought me that koozie, right? I think I showed you one time. He bought me that koozie. But then I think he really bought it for himself, because I've never been able to use it or see it. And he even sent that picture. He went to Vegas because he's a pool player, right? And he went to Vegas on a tournament. And he sent a picture and he said, make sure to send the girls this picture because they came to Vegas with me.
Yes. That's so sweet.
He was like, this is my good luck koozie. I'm like, okay. And he kept on asking me, did you tell them? Did you tell them? I'm like, yes, I sent them the picture.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
That's so awesome. And that's what we love so much about the community as well, is that everyone's, so far been so supportive and so open, and we all just want it to grow, right? So I think that's really cool. So thank you so much for that. Yeah, it was a cool moment.
<Thank you. laughs>
It's a cool moment to get those pictures and so, like, what is happening?
Robert, go ahead, Robert. You can go next.
With me, like, I never had like a paranormal experience that made me want to start investigating. With me, it was more of a very life-changing realization as a teenager. Because, like, I'm not embarrassed to admit it now, but, like, until I was 14, like, I already believed, I had, you know, I thought, you know, ghosts, you know, Bigfoot, aliens, all that stuff. I thought that stuff already existed and was discovered and all that, and was just part of everyday life. Because growing up, you know, like, I would see those kind of documentaries on TV. You know, I thought that was just like those paranormal documentaries. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like a nature documentary. So I'll change the channel, like cartoons and stuff growing up. I never gave it a second thought. And then when I was 14, you know, I was in middle school, I overheard these kids talking about Bigfoot and how they can get money if they capture one alive. And in my mind, you know, I didn't understand what they were talking about. And then when I finally got to talk to them, they, you know, basically, they opened, you know, what's the best way I can describe this? They opened the can of worms for me. Because I didn't know that Bigfoot wasn't discovered. It's like, not just Bigfoot, but they talk about aliens, you know, ghosts. They basically run this whole big rant. So, of course, you know, teenage mind, you know, that was kind of chaotic for me. Yeah. I did not like that part of my life. But, you know, and when I went home, you know, I just double-checked. I went straight to my mom as soon as I got home, and I asked her, you know, just to double-check. And when she confirmed all the stuff the kids said, I thought they were lying. That just shook my world, like, in a bad, bad way. I didn't know what to believe, who to trust anymore. So then that's before the internet, for smartphones, you know. That's when I went to my bookstores, libraries, and I started to get books on anything I could find, you know. Mainly, my specialty is cryptozoology and supernatural creatures. That's the easiest ones I came across, because it was the easiest ones to debunk or try to discover. So I sorted, you know, all of them out, you know, with the animal, you know, like the animal books and all that stuff, figuring out which animals are proven real and which ones are not discovered yet. And not gonna lie, it was hard. But I got to, like, I love used bookstores. I got so many books throughout the years from them. But I'm an old school in my research. For me, when it comes to the paranormal stuff, like, it's a little bit of a personal grudge because I love the paranormal, but I hate it too, because it's a love-hate relationship. Because I wanted to get all these things discovered already, because I just want to get my childhood back. And I explained this all before, like, the people they know. And for, like, a good few years now, I was doing a lot of, you know, hands-on solo work, you know, Bigfoot hunting, you know, going out, you know, just having, you know, basic adventures, paranormal adventures. And then, like, I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was 2019 when I met the team MPS, Mike's team. Mike was in the restroom, I think, at an event, so I didn't meet him right away. But I met Alma, and I think Matt was there. You know, I got their business cards, and I started to contact them, you know, talk to them back and forth, and I became a prospect. I let them know what I'm about, you know, the cryptozoology stuff. You know, and they, you know, a lot of people, like my family, they know I like this paranormal stuff. They know I like it. But they say, like, why didn't I join, like, a Bigfoot hunting group or something? Why did I join a ghost team? And I just thought, yeah, it's just, like, it's a fun experience.
Yeah.
And plus, you never know. And that could come in handy for them. Like a Swiss Army knife.
No, and I think that that's really what's great about the paranormal is how wide the spectrum is. I mean, there's so many parts of it. And I love that you brought up Bigfoot and aliens. Like, that's my jam. Like, I totally, and I think I've even said in one of our recent stories, like, I believe that there's a Bigfoot-like creature, but I don't know if he's, like, in Tennessee, you know? Like, I don't think that he's, I can't say that he's, like, hanging out in the Midwest. but maybe some uncharted, you know, forest or something that, you know, nobody's really ever seen or investigated. Like, we don't know what's out there. So I think that's a really cool part of the paranormal spectrum. So I definitely, yeah, that's my jam.
Yeah, like my earlier experiences, like you wanted to find out, like, what was my earliest paranormal experience?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, back then, I didn't know what paranormal was. Like, you know, I thought it was just part of regular life by then. When I was a really little kid. I don't know how old I was, but I remember I was playing with my toys in the back room, and my sister was babysitting me. I didn't know my mom was out at the time. It was a mimic I encountered, a changeling, a mimic, like however you want to, whatever your preference is to call it. But anyway, I heard my mom's voice behind me, and I turned around fast enough, and I saw my mom's head on a very skinny puppet-like body, but it was my height of a kid. But the head was big, you know, like an adult head on a kid body, but it was a puppet body type shape, like very scrawny looking. And it just went, it was at the corner, and it just looked at me and smiled. And I ran past it to get my sister, because I thought I was in trouble or something. You know, I was a kid, I didn't know any better. My sister went back there, she didn't see it. And I didn't go back there for the rest of the day. That was one of the earliest. Like, I have three main memories of my early. I'm glad my sister was there because, well, she was supposed to be a witness. But she was babysitting me again because I was still young. And then I heard the knock on the door. And then I remember looking out the window. I saw this black car. You know, it's like one of those, I don't know the model, but one of those rare, like, early 90s cars. Like, all black, and I saw these two tall guys standing on each side of it. You know, they were just, you know, doing the classic, you know, pose, not moving. And when I opened the door, it was a guy in black, but it was a very kind-looking old man. Like, he had a gentle smile, he had a very soft voice, and very, very nice. And he said he wanted to talk to, you know, the grown-ups. And I went to be at my sister, and I saw her, and I went back to the living room. She went to the door. I heard her talking to them. I didn't know what they were saying because I was watching my shows. And then she closed the door, and I, you know, I just remember saying, like, what did they want? And she said, I don't want to talk about it. And then, like, recently, after I joined the team, you know, I told the story. And I was talking to my sister about it because she read my bio when I joined the team. We make a little bio. And I mentioned the Men in Black encounter. And I started talking to her about it. And I said, you know, I want to talk to you about that now that you bring it up. What did they tell you? And then she said, like, she can't even remember talking to them. She remembers going to the door, but she doesn't remember anything else. And then she remembers just coming back in. That was the weirdest part. Like, not until recently, that's when I first joined the team as a prospect. She brought that story back up. And then, you know, I was surprised to remember because I really wanted, you know, answers. But
yeah,
that was the thing. And I never... Like I said, like, that was when I was young, you know, I just put it past me. I didn't know what Men in Black were back then, at least.
Wow.
But my friend said, like, well, and not just not then, but, like, once in a while, I still, like, you know, have little sightings of Men in Black once in a while. I mean, that's one of the good things about joining a team, though. Like, if I see them again, I'll have other people with me to see it with me.
Right.
Which I'm hoping they will one day. Wow. One of my friends said, like, they probably have their eye on you for something.
Yeah, exactly.
She said that recently, too. Like, why come she can't remember? Why didn't they give her to my memory then? Because I remember seeing their faces. I remember talking to the old guy at the door. How come I still remember them? But, and I'm not going to lie, like, one of my plans, like, I have, like, plans for the paranormal. Like, one of my main goals is to just, like, live in a world where, like, you know, Bigfoot, UFOs, you know, all us, you know, ghosts, it's just part of the norm. You know, everyday life, like I want it, like I once believed. That's my main goal. And, like, one of my plans was just, like, basically, if I can find the right evidence or proof that, you know, explode the truth onto the world, open the floodgates and see what happens. Let everything out and see what happens. And that's when my friend started making that comment about maybe that's why the men in black are looking at you that way or stalking you. They don't want you to do that.
Right. Yeah, no, man. We got to keep things separated. Yeah. There's a couple things that that I don't need flooding into my world. So I might be okay with keeping things as is. And this is why, you know, we talk about it. Yeah, we don't investigate it.
It's actually, and I was actually told once, like how you just said now, I was even told once, like I told people my friends, they said there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to like that idea. They're not going to like the, you know, that kind of a big change. And I've been called like a madman once in a while with my plan. He said, can you like be less evil villain with your plan? Be more common, like be more steady with it. But like aside from that, I love monster hunting stuff. That's my main thing. I got into my Native American roots more. So I do like a Native American monster hunting thing now. That's my MO, I guess you can call it that. But like I said, my specialty is cryptozoology and supernatural creatures. Like, when we go ghost hunting, like, you know, I like ghost hunting stuff, but like if one day, like they say, you know, our house is haunted, but once in a while, there's this really weird creature that comes to our backyard and we don't know what it is, then that's when I'm going to go full on with that one.
Yeah.
That's when I'm needed. Yeah, simple but effective, you know?
Definitely, yeah. I think for a crew, for a paranormal investigating crew, that seems like, yeah, you're going to need someone who's going to handle the creature aspect of it and take care of that. So that's really cool. And again, I really like a lot of those types of stories. So that's really awesome. And what brought you here to the, group. Basically. Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, man.
Well, thanks for that. Mike, you want to.
All right. So for me, how I guess it all started was, and you know, this story again, is, you know, my beginning of what led me to now becoming, you know, the investigator I am today. You know, this is my first experience with the paranormal took place in 89, and I was a small kid, man. I mean, I was very young, and we were living in an apartment complex here in San Antonio, and you know, I was the only child then, you know, of my mom and I. And one afternoon, and just to, you know, one of our neighbors who's still friends to this day with my mom, we all live in the same apartment complex, and you know, she comes to us and my mom says, you know, hey, you know, can I have my son's birthday party in your apartment? And my mom looks at her and looks at me, and you know, she's like, well, we had the same layout, like what's it? And my mom says, she's not very like mean, you know, she'll be like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. But it was like that lady's low key way of saying, can you cook for us, kind of thing, you know. And my mom's like, okay, like, sure, you know, she knew the deal, right? She knew that she wanted her to help cook, and my mom's always willing to help, you know. And so it's the day of the party, my mom's cooking away in the kitchen, you know, and all the kids, you know, these are all teenagers, I'm a small boy, and everyone's having a great time. You know, everyone is there for the birthday party. And I'm just sitting there watching everything go down. And the birthday boy, who now as an adult has since passed away, but when he was a young teenager, he walked in with his friend and he had something under his arm, right? And when he walked in, I see him, I could overhear them two and other kids kind of joining in. And I heard them say the Ouija board. And when I hear this, I have no clue what the hell Ouija board is, man. I'm so small, you know, and I'm kind of oblivious to all that. And so I remember them pulling this thing out. They start playing this game and they're laughing and talking about, oh, you can communicate with ghosts and ooh, and all this scary stuff. And so at that moment, I remember having the urge to use the restroom. Like, I had to go pee real bad. And I'm like, dang. So I get up from the sofa, and our restroom was on the second floor of the apartment. So it was the rest of it. I got bedrooms and stuff were on the second floor. And of course, like, the main part of the house is downstairs. And I walked to the stairs, and there's a light switch at the bottom of the stairs. I flipped it on. The light from the stairs comes on. I make my way up the stairs. And as you know, when you walk up the stairs at specifically these apartments, you know, you walk so far, then there's like a landing area, like a, you know, you reach like a point and then it continues to the next part of the stairs. And when I get to that landing area, the light above me turns off. And I stop and I look up and I see the light, the light's off. And I look down the stairs, maybe one of the kids or somebody was playing a joke on me. And the light switch was still on, but the light was off. So I didn't think too much of it. I said, you know, I got to go pee on it. Nothing's going to stop me at this point. I'm going to be there. So I continue up the next few, you know, the stairs are left, and I walk up to the top. When I reach the top of those stairs, my room's to the left. My mom's room is to the right. And directly in front of me is the restroom. Well, all of a sudden, right before I took the step to go towards the restroom, I look into my room, and when I was a child, I was given, one of my family members gave me this old desk. And it was like a desk chair combo that they're stuck together, you know, and it was meant for like really small kids. And I was always a chubby kid, right? So, you know, it was meant for really a real small petite child. And I was a little husky kid, right? So I never had to sit in the desk. But when I look towards my desk, there's a full grown man sitting on my desk, like on the chair. And all I could think was, how can he fit there but not me? And so I go into the restroom. I do my business. I come out of the restroom, and as I'm about to walk towards the stairs, like I took a step to go to the stairs, and I make this weird sound like on the floor. And when I look towards that man, he turns, and it was like if he heard the sound, so he turns to see what it was. And then he looked back towards the window of my room. And I went down the stairs like nothing, and I can hear my mom. I could overhear the commotion, and I can hear my mom like just dropping F-bombs and like yelling. And I started going down the stairs, and I see the door open from the front of the apartment, and my mom's literally throwing everybody out. I guess she found out about the Ouija board. So she said, you know what, zero tolerance for this. That was not a part of the thing. So everybody get the F out of here, pretty much. And she threw everybody out. Birthday boy, birthday cake, food, everybody's throwing everybody out. So as I'm going downstairs, I'm trying to go as fast as I can. She's locking the door from the apartment, and I said, wait. And she says, what? I said, your friend's upstairs. She goes, friend? So she goes up the stairs to see who it was or who it is. And she's walking up the stairs. I'm fast behind her. I go, that was a scary little kid. So we get to that landing area. Right when my mom reaches it, boom, the light turns on. Mind you, it was turned off the whole time. Boom, it turns on. We look up and the light's on. And so we make our way to the second, you know, to the second floor. Right when we reach the top, we go. I look to the left to my room. There's nobody there. My mom goes. She goes to the whole room. There's nobody there under the bed. Nothing. She went to her room, you know, the closets. I mean, there was nothing, nobody. So she was like, sure you saw somebody? And I said, yes. And so it was like, you know, without knowing at the time, that was like my first experience without even knowing. So shortly after that, I remember it was like one evening, you know, probably the middle of the night. It was like maybe 2 a.m, maybe 3. I don't remember exactly. But my mom and I were laying down, we're asleep. And all of a sudden, we hear the loudest bang, like boom, 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 boom. And someone's just banging. And I jump up, you know, freaking out, my heart's racing. And, you know, we hear this loud boom, 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 boom. I felt like the whole apartment was shaking. And we hear, open up, it's the police. And my mom says, police? And so she jumps up out of bed, runs towards the stairs, and I run right behind her. So we go down the stairs. My mom opens the door, and there's two officers. They're real tall gentlemen, right? And the officer says, we were called. There was a report that someone was being held hostage here, and that if they wouldn't come to be saved, they were going to be killed. And My mom was so confused. Like, and plus, she was half asleep, half awake. She's like, look, I don't know what you're talking about, but there's no one being held hostage here. Yeah, but we received a call from this apartment, and my mom says, we don't even have a phone. How can you receive a call from us? And so he goes, can we enter the, you know, whatever, and take a look? My mom let them in. They looked everywhere, and there was nothing. And my mom shows us, this is the wall right here. This is where our phone outlet's at or whatever, but we don't have no phone. And they both looked at each other very confused, like kind of baffled, right? And they said that they apologized for, you know, the intrusion and for interrupting us, but that they just weren't, you know, they had got the call. And so as they're walking out of the apartment, you know, we all have that one nosy neighbor, or at least most of us do, or you have that one person who lives close by who's just always eavesdropping, just, you know what I mean? And so we had that neighbor next door, and she did not like my mom for anything. She didn't like me. Why, I don't know. But she comes out and she says, why you guys are awake? She's like, you need to tell your son Mikey to stop running up and down the damn stairs. My mom says, what? She's like, all night, every night, I hear him running up and down the stairs, banging the walls. He's I don't know what sounds he's making, but I can hear him went up and down the stairs all night. My mom says, look, man, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but my son, when we go to bed at night, he's right by me. He's too afraid to walk around in the dark. Excuse me. And so the lady looks at her husband, and he looks at her puzzled, and they just walk into the apartment. They just didn't bring it up no more. And my mom, we go into the house, into the apartment, and she's like, what the heck's going on? Like, she was shook from that whole thing. And so, you know, she was kind of start questioning, like, what's up? Like, did this Ouija board do something to the apartment, right? You know, what did it open? And so it got to a point where things started happening more frequently. You know, our TV, back in the day, it was a box TV, you know. I don't even remember having a remote to the damn TV, but there was these little buttons on there, digital buttons, or, you know, digital numbers. You could see if you click change channel, the numbers would change. And I remember, you know, watching TV, and the channels would jump back and forth from one program to the next, you know, to one program, back to my cartoons. And I remember my grandma being there and talking in Spanish, you know, asking my mom, like, what's going on with the TV? Is it broken? Like, why is it jumping from channel to channel? And mom, you know, jokingly, oh, it's a ghost. And my grandma, very blunt, you know, very just out there when it comes to speaking her mind. She's like, ghost. She's like, what a joke. There's no ghost here. And, you know, you're just crazy. And like, just being really, really mean. And my mom's like, whatever. She just ignored it, right? And then I remember it got to a point where we started seeing this child. And I say child because of what I saw. There was a little, where our stairway was at the bottom of the stairs, you know, you can kind of, like, there's the wall there. And so if you're sitting on the stairs at the bottom, where you're like maybe two or three steps up and your feet are at the bottom step, you can see the tips of your shoes there. So we were there one evening, and my mom says, I'm going to go to, because we had like a, you know, the apartment, most apartments have like a public, or not even public, but a washer area for the apartment people. And so my mom says, I'm going to go put a load into the wash. Don't open the door, nobody. I'll be right back. I said, okay. So she leaves, you know, walking down into our apartment complex to the washateria. And I'm by myself, I'm watching TV. And all of a sudden I hear this noise coming from the stairs. And when I turn to look, I see two little black shoes stick out from the bottom where the last step is at. I can see from the side, not from the front view. From the side, I see the tips of two little shoes. And it wasn't like regular, like, sneakers or tennis shoes. It was like these, I remember my sister having these shoes when she was born. Imagine, like, they're, like, all black. And it's almost like patent leather shoes where, like, the shoes are shiny, but they're for, like, little kids. Like for little girls. Mm-hmm. And I see this, and all of a sudden the two feet start moving up and down, like if you're like you know, like tapping your foot, but it's kind of like moving your feet up and down, like, you know, just at the front part, you know, the front of your feet. And I'm seeing this, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, and I get scared. I mean, I was scared as a child for every little thing, right? And so but when I see this, I'm like, wait a second. I don't have no siblings. Like, there's no one here with me besides myself. Who the hell is this kid, you know? And I'm freaking the hell out, man. Like, I start, you know, screaming real loud. And right as I scream, the 2 feet move away. Like, they go, like, if they're hiding them. Like, you know, they as if I acknowledge them, then, whoop, they're gone. And I scream, and like, it's like my, it's like, you know, that fight or flight mode, right? Like, you want to, but for me, it was not fighting. It was like, I wanted to run out the door and leave. And I had no choice. Like, I couldn't leave. So my mom finally comes back, and I'm screaming my head off. And she asked me what's going on. And I told her, you know, I saw these 2 shoes and 2 feet moving up and down the stairs. And she's like, you know, you're just imagining this. Like, you know, even though she knew the things we had been experiencing, but she didn't want me to just be there focusing on this stuff and then become, you know, give the thing more attention or more whatever. So, you know, that happens, and it gets to a point where we're having so many experiences. My mom is, you know, at her wit's end. She's like, I'm done with this, you know? And finally, I guess the one thing before, you know, because there was like a few things that happened before we finally moved out, because we were there for like 10 years going through this. My mom and I were watching movies one evening. And by this time, she was pregnant, and she was going to have my sister. And so we're watching movies, and all of a sudden, as we're watching movies, our neighbor, who we had had the party for her son, whenever she wanted to talk to my mom, anytime she wanted to talk to her, like from her apartment to ours, she never was like, you know, let me go knock on the door and, you know, ask you a question. She would shout, like, you know, she would shout my mom's name out really, really loud, like from across, you know, from her window to ours. And my mom would go there and would respond, like, you know, what do you want or whatever. And so my mom, she hears her calling her. So we go to the second floor. You know, she says, what do you want? You know, what's going on? She says, who's that woman at your window looking through the window? My mom says, what? So there, where your bushes are at in front of your window, there's a woman standing there with a black, like a hood over her head. She's looking through the window, and she starts shouting at I guess whoever she's seen. We don't see her from the window. So my mom, as we're coming down the stairs, as we're walking down the stairs and to the clearing before we reach the front door, at our front window, you can see, because I guess the light in the darkness, you know, in the light, you're seeing the light, anything behind the light from the TV, we couldn't see it. So from the stair side, you could see someone with the 2 hands on their face, kind of like looking through the window. And it's scared, of course, it scared the hell out of me because I didn't know who this was. My mom didn't know either. And my mom's real like hood. I mean, she can get real hood on you real quick, like, you know, get all wild, right? Like, oh, you know, West Side, right? Like, we're gonna box or something. So she runs out there like ready to fight, and she's like, "Who are you?" And then all I remember was I was holding on to my mom's like her shorts or whatever she was wearing, and I remember this person turns to look at us, and imagine like someone wearing like a hoodie kind of thing, like a sweater, and with the hood over their head, and when they turn to look at us, all you can see was their mouth, and maybe the nose, but you couldn't see their eyes. Man, I ran straight back into the apartment. My mom did too. And that lady who was in the window, she couldn't see from our point of view. But we left, man. Like, and when we went back into the house, we're trying to look through the window to see she was there. That woman was gone. And so I was like, holy smokes. Like, and it's like it was that dark where you couldn't see her face. You know what I mean? Because there was enough light where you could see. But imagine there being just darkness there. And so this happens. My mom's, you know, we're both freaking out. My mom's freaking out. And she says, man, what do we do? Like, how can we stop this from happening? So then my mom says, you know what? I'm going to go to the church, the Catholic church. And I'm going to reach out to them. And I'm going to see if they could help us? Like, can, you know, can they do something to kind of explain all of this? Like, why is this, why are we experiencing this? And so my mom and I go one day to the church, and this church is still there to this day. We go over there, and she tells the priest, name was Father Mike. She says, Father Mike, you know, we're experiencing stuff in our apartment. You know, we don't know why it's happening, but it's happening. You know, can you please help us in some way? Like, you know, explain this to us. You know, why are we experiencing this? And so he says, if you're talking about paranormal stuff, we don't help with that kind of stuff. We don't assist when it comes to, you know, like cleansings and all that stuff. Like, we don't do nothing for that. My mom says, well, how do I cleanse? Like, what can I do to help this stop? You know, well, we're not experiencing it. And so the first thing he said was, you know, before we even get to, you know, if it's paranormal, he's like, are you on drugs? Like, kind of going down the whole list of questions to ask, right? Like, are you on drugs? Do you have mental disabilities or any kind of mental health problems or whatever? And she says, no, I'm, you know, you can drug test me. You can, you know, you can do any test you want. Just that can prove to you that, you know, what we're experiencing is a real thing. And he says, well, you know, there's something we can do. He's like, but what I can do for you is I can give you some holy water. I'll provide you with the scriptures, and you yourself have to go cleanse your own apartment. My mom had no, you know, idea of, you know, even where to begin. And he says, just read these scriptures, you know, get the holy water, put crosses over your doors, windows, whatever, whatever. My mom just felt defeated. She's like, if I'm coming to the church and they're not going to help me, you know, what do I do? Like, who's going to help me? Nobody. And of course, this is a time where you can't really talk about this, because like Dev said earlier, you know, you talk about this and you're crazy. You know, they're going to call, you know, especially there's children involved, they call CPS, try to get, you know, child services involved, because maybe you're not all there. Like, so, you know, she went home, and as we're walking back to her apartment, because we lived across the street from the church, she was crying, holding my hand, and you know, and before she even attempted the cleansing, she says, I have to do something. And I'm just listening to her, you know, what she's talking. And she says, the next thing we need to do in order to prove that what we are experiencing is a real occurrence, what we're experiencing is the real deal, pretty much, is we need to figure out, you know, how can we do this? How can we prove so that way people can stop saying we're crazy? They can stop saying this and that about us, or, you know, about her. And so she says, I got it. She says, the next person or people that comes to our home, we are going to invite them in. And we're not gonna mention anything about paranormal, nothing about ghosts, nothing about anything. We're just gonna not say anything. And when they're there in our apartment, whether it's day or night, if there happens to be a situation where, you know, the activity kicks up and things get pretty crazy, then we want to see how they react. If they react to it at all, that way we know it's not just in our mind. And so we're like, well, who can we invite? Or who can? And so one morning, I'll never forget this, it's about maybe, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember exactly what time it was. But someone comes knocking at our door. And we're like, you know, my mom opens it. And who's there at the door? The Jehovah's Witnesses. And usually, you know, not to be mean, but whenever you see Jehovah's Witnesses, people are ducking and dodging them, right? Mm-hmm. You don't open the door.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you see them on the door with all the little pamphlets, and you're like, ooh, no one's here. And not to be mean, but that's just how it is, right? And so, but this time my mom's like, look, this is, you know, let's invite them in. So she invites them in. She's like, look, you sit down. I'm making breakfast. I'm making coffee. Don't leave, please. Like, she was that desperate. So they're taking their little pamphlets out, you know, and my mom's pregnant, you know, and so
She's cooking away in the kitchen, trying to do everything she can to keep them there without leaving. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there watching TV, I start focusing on the stairs. I'm like, in my mind, all I kept thinking was, if this thing decides to show its toe, the last thing I want to do is scream again like I did the first time, and it kind of like leave, you know? So my hope was that if it showed itself, like it did to me before, I'm going to stay quiet, but I'm going to keep looking without blinking and hope that one of the babies looks at me and looks in that direction. And sure enough, that's what happened. I see the two shoes. By this point, my mom had put a curtain there, or like she put some kind of thing to drape down. And it was semi-transparent, so you can kind of see through a little bit. All of a sudden, I see two little hands pushing this curtain. And I see the two little feet moving up and down at the bottom of the curtain. And I'm like, I'm scared out of my mind, but I didn't want to yell. And I'm looking, and I'm like, and my mom like, look, 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 look. And all of a sudden, one of the elderly women turned that direction I was looking, and she sees what I'm looking at. And she then stands up and tells my mom, of course, all this is Spanish. She says, ma'am, why don't you invite your daughter to come sit with us? My mom says, daughter? She's like, what daughter? She's like, I'm pregnant right now with a little girl, but I don't have one yet. And she says, well, then who's the little girl up the stairs? My mom says, that ain't my daughter. She's like, if you can get her to come stay with us, I'm grabbing my son and we're running out of the apartment. And the lady kind of like looked puzzled, like, what are you talking about? Kind of confused. So she gets up, the lady, or she's already standing up, but she walks towards the curtain, and we can all see the little hands and the shoes. That lady grabs the curtain, and we're all looking, and when she whips it to the side, there's no one there. And she screamed at the top of her lungs, man. She was like, she hit those high notes, and Mariah Carey notes, right? And the other ladies, they jump up, scared out of their mind, and they ran out of the apartment, left their booklets, left their purses, and they were out, man. And my mom ran too. My mom ran, she almost forgot me. She grabbed me, and like, we went outside. And it was morning. I mean, it was like barely any daylight, and they were all scared. Ugh, I was freaking out. My mom is like, finally, like, she had so much joy in that. Not because they got scared, but because finally it was proven that, or at least it was confirmed, and you know, like, hey, you know, we have validation that what we're experiencing is a real thing. It's not just in our mind. So real quickly, we had received a call that my great-grandfather was dying. At the time, he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver, and he was, like, already in the hospice where he was just waiting to die, you know? And so we went to my aunt's house before we left to my mother's aunt's house, which is my older aunt. We were at the house while they were in the hospital, my great-grandfather. Well, before we got the call that he passed, our neighbor, who's from Mexico, she was, of course, living here in the U.S., she would watch our apartment for us whenever we would leave. And so her name was, I'm not saying her name, but this lady, she called my mom and says, hey, you know, at any point that you come back to the apartment? My mom says, no, you know, I'm here at my aunt's house. She's like, what do you say? She's like, well, because last night I went to go check on the apartment, and there was like a party going on in the apartment. I thought you came back. She's like, what do you mean a party? She's like, I can hear back. She said, we can hear. She and her husband could hear, like, there's a party going on. They can hear the loud music. They can hear laughter. They can hear, like, muffled talk, like someone's in the apartment having a good time. She's like, no, I've been here this whole time. She goes, if you go back and hear it again, you have permission to go in there and kick everybody out. Call the cops if you have to. So that same night, she goes back to the neighbor with her husband. Sure enough, music blasting, people talking. They can see, like, the silhouettes of, like, shadows through the curtains and the window. And he has the key to the apartment. She stands in the distance watching the window. He goes to the door to put the key in there and open it. And right when the key goes into the keyhole, the lights turn off. And she's like, the lights turned off. I think they're hiding from us. He opened the door, ran in there. There was nobody there. Nobody was there. Not a sign of no smoking, no drink. I mean, there was nothing to indicate there was a party. My mom says, did he call us back? Say, hey, this is what we saw. My mom says, I'm going to be there tomorrow. We'll be there. So my mom goes the next day. We got the news that my grandfather passed, my great-grandfather. And so we went the next night. As we're pulling up, sure enough, you can see the light from the window. You get the music blasting. My mom's there. I'm there. The neighbor's there. You know, her husband. And from the distance, you can hear the muffled. Like, if you're in a restaurant, you can hear people talking in the distance. That the ambient sound of them talking, that's what it sounded like. And my mom goes, hell no. She runs to the door, puts the key, the lights turn off again. She runs in there. There's nobody there. She's like, mother, beep, 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 beep. I'm tired of this. Beep, 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 beep. You know, I can't say the word. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of, you know, experiencing this. Leave us alone. Like, you're not welcome in our house. I'm like, you know, and it was just all hell, man. And there's more that happens, but I'll say it for another time. But it was just that. That's what kind of led me to where I'm at now. You know, just all those experiences, and it helped me. It made me want to help others out there, like ourselves, who are going through that, to let them know they're not alone. Like, you know, there's people out here that have gone through this and have overcame it, and you know, we're like a walking testimony. And we, you know, we want to know that if we can do it, so can you. And we want to know that, you know, whatever you're going through, it's not never too big or too small. Like, we'll be there for you. We'll have your back to it until it's over. But yeah, that's all I have to say for now.
No. That's an awesome story, and I think it covers so much. I mean, poltergeist activity. I mean, apparitions of these individuals throughout the home, the man, the woman, the young kid, like that's some horrific stuff. And I think it makes sense for, I mean, all of y'all to have been brought together, right? Based on the experiences that y'all have shared. It makes for a strong group of individuals to invest time and interest in the paranormal. So great, great stories. I mean, really, we're so thankful that y'all were able to share a lot of that with us. So in our last couple minutes here, I don't know if y'all want to let people know where they can find y'all, where y'all are available, or how often they can check y'all out.
Oh, yeah. They can find us at, if you type in Facebook, you can type in Midnight Paranormal Society. You can also see us there, you know, live investigations when we do have them because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But you can see our investigations there. We also have a podcast, our network that we have called Whispers from the Unknown Network. You can go there. We have shows on there Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and also on the weekend every now and then. But if you want to hear us talk about more of these experiences and just everything paranormal, cryptid, everything under the sun, we have it there. So you're more than welcome to look us up there.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Everybody definitely check them out. It's always a good time. Again, thank you so much, Mike, Rob, Deb. You guys are awesome. And we definitely look forward to having y'all back and getting some more stories. And with Maddie, we want to be able to talk to Maddie again soon. So hopefully we'll have everybody join us at some point.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, as well.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. So those are some wild stories. They were really cool, interesting. Yeah, they kind of hit like everything from, cryptids and
yeah, man, Men in Black, Bigfoot. I loved Deb's contribution to the story. I mean, speaking to really kind of practicing that intuition piece when it comes to the paranormal. So that's really cool to hear. And then Mike having all kinds of activity and experiences. Yeah, it makes sense for him to want to head something like Midnight Paranormal Society. So yeah. A really great inside peek at the crew. Whew.
Oh, man, I'm feeling heavy.
Oh, God. We need it.
Stuff.
We need it.
Hail to the guardians of the watchtowers of the north by the powers of Mother and Earth. Hear us.
Take a big deep breath in. Let that baby out. You cleanse.
Thank you. Thank you. Needed it after all that, man. Aliens, everything's. Everything's. I loved it. But that's it for today's episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun having them on. And until next time, I'm Bethany.
And I'm Leah.
And we're signing off with two besitos.
From these putitos.